We continue our learning Le'ili Nishvas, Tavi ben Menachem, Rishem Chaim Yaakov, and Pinchas Eliyo. We are in Sukkah, Paragimel, Mishnah Aleph, Lulav HaGazel, the Hayavesh Pasul, a stolen lulav and a dry lulav apostle. So we'll discuss each one separately. A stolen lulav is pasul on the first day, because it says Ulakachtem Lachem by Marishon, it has to belong to you, the same way a lulav that is shol, that's borrowed, is pasul on the first day, because it's Lachem, it has to be yours. Now, but here this Mishnah says it sounds like it's pasul for all of Sukkahs. How is that possible? Lachem is only a din in the first day. After the first day, a borrowed lulav is acceptable. So the answer is because of mitzvah haba ba'avera, because you're not permitted to perform a mitzvah through that came about by an avera. So a stolen lulav is therefore pasul. What is this based on? Based on a pasuk in Malachi. Pasuk in Malachi is speaking, Malachi is giving muster to the people, to the Kohanim, about bringing karbonos that are unacceptable. And he says the following, v'havesem gazul v'es habiseach v'es hacholeh. You know what kinds of karbonos you bring? You're bringing stolen karbonos and lame karbonos and sick karbonos. Now the comparison between stolen and lame and sick is the following. When it comes to some animals that lame or sick, that animal is pasul, it's pasul forever. There's nothing you can do about it. But when it comes to something that's stolen, typically we have this concept of yeish, which is when the owner gives up hope, so the gazla now who has the item is kone it through this kinyan gazela. It officially becomes his. Now, obviously he has to pay the value back, but the item becomes his, and therefore one would have thought that a stolen lulav after yeish of the owner would be acceptable. Therefore, the comparison between gazul, a stolen carbon, and a lame carbon is to teach us that even after Yish, there is no, it's not yours because of mitzvah babavera. You're not allowed to use it because it's a mitzvah babavera. Now, the Mishnah then says that if it's dry, so a dry lulav is going to be pasul, and that's going to be true for all 7 days, we assume, because it's a lack of hadar. Pre-eitz hadar, the din of hadar, although it's written when it comes to esrog, we assume, according to most tanaim at least, that that din of hadar applies to all of the dalet medim, and therefore lulav has to be hadar. If it's dry, it's not. Now, what's considered dry? So that's the Rishonim debate that. Some say means dry is it's that it's so dry, it's so brittle, you can crumble it with your nail. Some say it means that it's white as opposed to being green. And in fact, the Ravid says this and assumes that the source of why a dry lulav is pasul, it's not that it's not hadar, but rather the pasuk, we say in Hallel and Tehillim, lo ha-mesim yahaluka, something that's dead can't praise Hashem. The lulav is used to praise Hashem. And here as well, here I'm trying to use the lulav, I use it during challah, a dead lulav can't praise Hashem, obviously should not be used for the mitzvah. So that's one issue when it comes to explain what a dry lulav is, and this is going to be pasul. It's a lack of hadar. Now Rashi happens to quote the pasuk of Zeh Keli Vanveu, which is somewhat troubling according to Tosfos, because Zeh Keli Vanveu, glorify Hashem is mitzvah in mitzvos, hid a mitzvah in general, a beautiful, beautiful tefillin, beautiful tzitzis, beautiful sefer Torah, and the like. That's a din lachatchila. No one would say that you're not yotzei the mitzvah b'di'evet if you didn't have something that was hadar. Yet when it comes to the lulav and esrog, if it's not hadar, it's completely pasul. It's inherently pasul, and that must be because not of the pasuk Zeh Keli Vanveu, but rather pre-eitz hadar. The fact that here, regarding this mitzvah or these dalin minim, the pasuk says hadar. It has to be hadar, and if it's not, then it's going to be pasul even b'di'evin. Then the Mishnah says shel ashera v'shel ir hanidachas pasul, a lulav of an ashera tree. This was worshipped as avodah zara, or ir hanidachas. That's where the majority of a city worshipped avodah zara. The people of the city are supposed to be killed by the sword, and the items in the city are supposed to be burnt. So in both of these cases, an Asherah tree or an Ir HaNidachas, though the trees in an Ir HaNidachas have to be burnt. So why is it pasul? So the Gemara says, because of what we call Kitusei Mechtas Shiure. The Shiur, the amount, the size of the lulav doesn't exist. It's completely crushed. It's completely pulverized. Why? Because if it has to be burned, we can can say kol ha'omed lisaref kisarafdom. Something that has to be burnt halachically is as if it's already burnt. So a lulav has to have a shear. The shear of a lulav has to, we'll learn, is four tfachim high. So this is, but how many tfachim this is? It's zero, because it's as if it's completely burnt. And therefore that applies to Asherah and Ir HaNidachas as well. Then the Mishnah says, what else? Niktam Rosho is going to make it puzzle. If the top of the lulav is cut off. Now, what does it mean, the top of the lulav? So that we showed them how to debate what that means. What leaves of the lulav are we talking about? According to some Rishonim, the Mishnah is only speaking about the shedra itself. The shedra itself, but the leaves of the lulav that go above the shedra, that are not halachically significant. And if those were cut off, that would be okay. And therefore, niktam rosho only refers to the tip of the spine. And other Rishonim say no. The leaves of the lulav are considered part of the lulav itself, even the ones that go above the spine. And therefore, if some of the upper leaves, the majority of the upper leaves are cut off, that's niktam rosho, which passes the lulav. And other Rishonim say no, they're even more strict, that the tiomes, that double leaf all the way on top, right in the middle, that's what it's talking about. If that's broken off, that can pass the lulav as well. And then Mishnah says nifritzu alav. If the leaves are severed. What does that mean? Different understanding what's happening, what it means. They're according to Rashi, the leaves means they're really severed completely from the spine. And then what do? You tie them back on with somehow, and it look, you know, this like an old broom, and you tied it together, and that's what it looked like. And that would obviously make it possible. And others say no, maybe the leaves are just partially torn off, they're dangling from it a little bit, and maybe means they're not severed. It means that the leaves are split. We know each leaf is a double leaf. So if the leaves are, they're attached, but they're split down that fold into two, that could also puzzle. Different ways to understand what the Mishnah means when it says nifritzu alav, but either way, that's puzzle. So far we have in the Mishnah, we have a dry stolen lulav, a dry lulav is puzzle, and that is because you have either lachem or mitzvah b'aveir v'gazel. Yavesh is possible because it's not hadar. Asher and Ir HaNidachas are possible because there's no shear to it, because it has to be burnt. If the top is cut off, that's that you're missing hadar. And nifritzu alav as well is considered that it's going to be, that it's not, it's a lack of hadar. Then the Mishnah says, though, nifridu alav, if the leaves were just spread apart, meaning they're fully attached, they're just spread apart, as you know, as on a palm tree, they started to spread apart, then b'dieved it's kosher. Now, you'll say that the Torah says, what do you mean, kapos tamarim? Kapos means like kafus, like they have to be bound. So that's true, but that's a din, but we can say that nonetheless, since I can bind them back together after they spread out a little bit, so that's also considered kapos tamarim, and a person can fulfill the mitzvah that way, b'dieved. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ye'eg dedo milamalar. Rabbi Yehuda is not sufficient, according to him, that they have the potential to be bound back. He would say he requires that you bind them at least on top with the leaves spread out so that it looks like a kosher lulav. Tzine har habarzel ksheros. The palms, the thorn palms of har habarzel are kosher. What's har habarzel? So we see I'm reading from the Bar Tanura. Yesh de kalim, you have these palm trees. Shelulavin shelohem aleihem kitzar aleihen, meaning the leaves, kitzaramo, they're very, very short leaves. Vein olin al orach hashedra. They don't even go the whole length of the spine. So then, what's the halacha? Im heim arukim kokach. If at least the leaves are long enough that the leaf below is able to touch a little bit of the leaf above, then ksherim b'dieved, they're okay. So that's what you need. You need the spines of these, the shedra of these palm branches, so they're not really covered. They're very, very short leaves. But as long as you have a leaf that's able to touch the leaf above, b'dieved it's kosher. That's what it means. Tzine hara barzel b'dieved ksheros. Lulav, then the Mishnah concludes, lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tfachim, kedei l'na'anea bo kosher. A lulav that has three tfachim in order to shake it, it's kosher. In order to wave it, it's kosher. So what does that mean? So hadasim and aravos have to be a minimum of three tfachim. The lulav has to be three tfachim plus, meaning so that it's no noticeable above the others as you shake it. And kedelin anebo, how much is that? We assume that that is an extra tefach. There is some debate in the Gemara whether that extra tefach is of the has to be of the spine, the shedra of the lulav itself, or can either be of the leaves. But either way, we need an extra tefach. And that is kosher. It's not only, it's not really b'dieved, it's l'chatchila. Lulav has three tfachim, plus that extra, kedei l'naneabo, is going to be kosher. Perek Gimel Mishnah Beis, we speak about hadas. Hadas ha-gozol v'hayavesh pasul, stolen hadas. Not lochem, and in mitzvah on the first day, and in mitzvah babavera, which we pasul it all 7 days. The hayavish, if it's dry, it's not hadar, pasul. Shel asherah, shel iran idachas, pasul. If it's of an asherah tree, or an idachas, avodah zara, it's going to be pasul once again, because kitusei mech tashire. Just worthwhile to point out here, we could have pointed it on the previous Mishnah, and that is that the Gemara comes to the conclusion that not all asheros are problematic. When it comes to Avodah Zarah in general, a non-Jew, and a Jew can't do this, but a non-Jew has the ability to nullify Avodah Zarah. Once he does that, it's mutar bahana. So why don't we say that regarding the Asherah and the Hanadacha? So the truth is, by an Asherah in general, we would. The Gemara is speaking specifically about what we call Asherah Demosha, the Asherahs that were found by the Jewish people when they entered Eretz Yisrael. That has to be burnt, and that can't be used anything. That's what we say, Kitusei Mechtas Shurei, regarding a lulav and the dalaminim. But others from later generations, you could have a non-Jew be mevatel them, and that would be acceptable. So once again, the hadas, which is stolen or dry or an asherah or an edachas, is pasul. Niktam rosho, if the top of the hadas was cut off. Now when it comes to the hadas, so here we could say Niktam Rosho is pretty clear what it means. It's not referring to the leaves, where some, when it came to the lulav, maybe it was referring to the leaves. Here, very clear, the hadas, it's pretty much, most Rishonim say, it's referring to the stem, the top, which is cut off. Says the Mishnah here that it's going to be pasul. We'll see a later opinion in later Mishnais that may disagree with that opinion when it comes to hadasim. But right now, Niktam Rosho, we assume, is pasul. Nifritzu alav, here means the leaves were severed. Rashi assumes that the leaves were, it lost most of its leaves, and therefore, and that's going to be a problem. And others say no, it means the leaves are split. Osha, you either way makes it puzzle. Osha, you anava marubos me'alav. Also puzzle, or if it has more berries than leaves. Now, hadasim have berries. If the berries are green like the leaves, we don't have to worry about them. But if they're black or reddish berries, as hadasim are going to have, so here we assume if there are more of those dark berries than leaves, count them up, then it's going to puzzle it. So you don't have to remove all the berries, but you have to remove enough that we have more leaves than berries. And says the Mishnah, v'miatan kasher. Yeah, if you decrease them, you took off, then it's going to be kosher. But vein mematin be yom tov. But you're not allowed to do that on yom tov. Why can't you do that on yom tov to remove them? It's not attached to the ground. It's not malach of kotzer. It's already detached from the ground. So what's the problem? It's like plucking off a grape. I'm allowed to pluck off a grape. So the answer is because I'm fixing something. This is like makeh bepatish, the final blow, midrabanan, tikkun mana. It's as if I'm fixing a kli. I'm making something that was not usable, which is not allowed midrabanan on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Same thing, I can't separate Trumos and Masros regarding this issue. And the same thing here. So yes, you can be Memayit, but not on Yom Tov.